I know Brother Becker did not know probably that I was preaching tonight, but I'll take the compliment anyways. Not every day you get to be called Brother Todd Lassiter. That's an exciting compliment for me. I'm excited about that. Amen. Well, you know, it's just in way of introduction. Let's see. About this time, 1 year ago, I was going to the hospital to watch my wife deliver a little baby. And little Oliver turned one today. And our children are a blessing. Amen. I think we'll have a dozen more or so. Got to keep up with Brother Clay. And Brother Cliff told me the news a couple weeks ago about them having another baby. And he said, "We're just trying to keep up with you." I said, "Well, amen. Let's go." And listen, I mean it. I guess God knew that a principal was a good place for me to be. I love kids. I love working with kids. I love being with kids at all ages, really. Now, the things they do sometimes don't always make me happy, but I can get over that. I just beat them a couple times, and they're okay. No, I don't really, but I better be careful. I'm on tape here. Incriminate myself. I've been thinking for a long time about this subject, not necessarily about this message, but in particular, but about the subject. And it's something that has been critical in every stage of every movement that God has done and everything that God has done. This subject has been critical in that. And the subject, of course, is the Word of God. And now, some of you may or may not know, there's a little bit of a tiff going on in independent Baptists around our country about the Word of God. And I'm not here to defend that or to argue that point at all. But I do know what the Word of God means to me. And I hope that you know what it means to you. Now, I'm not talking about all the technical details of it. Up or down? I don't know. One of these. It's going to stop popping one of these times. But I want you to think about what it means to you. To you individually. As we started this school year, I always choose scriptures for the kids to memorize, Bible verses. And this year I thought, you know, it'd be fun to go through Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And really we have about 170 some school days. And I said, hey, that's about a verse a day. We can pull this off. And so we went ahead and we decided to give the kids five or sometimes four verses a week for them to go through and memorize. And as I began to look through that chapter and see over and over again how it mentions statutes, precepts, commandments, judgments, all the things about the Word of God. And it was just over, it's saturated. Almost every verse has something to say about God's Word. I mean, the psalmist was consumed with it. I mean, it permeates through the scriptures in Psalm 119. Of course, two of the most famous verses in Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 11. Anybody know that one? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Talking about God's word. And we're going to start tonight in 2 Timothy. Listen, I've got 16 verses. I could have had 160 verses very simply, but we just don't have that much time. But listen, God's word must be important to you. If you want to be any kind of a Christian, God's word needs to be important to you. So the title of the message tonight is, what is the word of God to you? What is it to you? What does it mean to you? Now, I'm not talking, like I said, I'm not talking about, do you believe it's the divinely inspired, preserved word of God and all those things. I hope you do, by the way. But what is it to you? So if you'll stand, we'll start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as I speak this evening, I want you to think, what is the word of God to you? What is it to me? What does it mean to me? Then the Father, I pray that you bless tonight. I pray that you'd help us to sink deep into ourselves and examine what value the Word of God has to us, how we use it in our lives, what we do with it in our lives, or if we do. And God, I pray that you'd convict hearts tonight, that you'd help Christians see that we have a tool, we have the words of God that can carry us through our Christian life and make us be the people of God that we need to be. Lord, I pray that you bless this time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you a series of questions tonight, and I want you to think about them as we go through. Because If you can't settle in yourself what the Word of God means to you, then let me just say, you're not going to go anywhere as a Christian. You won't. Okay? You can do all you want to in the flesh. You can do all you want to on the outside. But if the Word of God has no value to you, you're not going anywhere as a Christian. Everything else will fail. You'll be exposed. That's just how it is. Because the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is the Word of God. You can't explain it any better than that. It is that. It has to be. And here's some things, some questions I want you to ask. What is the Word of God to me? Number one, is it your spiritual foundation? Is it your spiritual foundation? What are you standing on? Where do you take your stand as a Christian? On a religion? Oh, I'm a Baptist. Okay, I know, I've studied, I know that means something. But you know what it means? It means you have a doctrinal, spiritual foundation based on the Word of God. That's what being a Baptist means. But most of you, perhaps, don't know that. I was shocked 2 years ago to get up, and I taught basically a Bible or a Baptist history kind of class. I went back through the forefathers and all that stuff and talked about some of those men that Baptist roots came through and things like that. And then we got to talking, and I found out that only one kid out of the 15 or 16 in my class, now I'm talking about 9th through 12th graders, knew anything about the statement of faith and doctrines that we had in our church. And I was floored. I was like, what? What? I can't believe it. But they knew zero. I mean, I had to take out the statement of faith, and I made copies, and I gave them all a copy, and we went through that thing point by point, line by line, and I gave them tests and quizzes over it. And some of them still failed. I can't believe it. But I mean, the Bible, in our statement of faith, says the Bible is the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. They didn't even know that. Hey, it's got to be your spiritual foundation. If you don't have the Word of God, what do you have to stand on? Traditions of men? That's not going to hold up. That's shifting sand for sure. Religion, right? I'm sorry. That won't get you anywhere either. The Word of God must be your spiritual foundation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You've got, where are you going to know about faith? Where are you going to know about salvation? Where are you going to find out about the eternal hope of heaven? Where? Somebody tell me. In the Word of God. It's got to be the foundation. It has to be. Because that's where you stand. Where your foundation is where you stand. And if you're standing on a faulty foundation, you're going to falter. If you're standing on the rock, then you're going to stand. And the Word of God has to be our foundation. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking. And verses 17 through 18, he says, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." It's going to weather the storm. It's going to be the foundation that you need for life. And if you're going to be a Christian, especially in this day and age, you've got to have a solid foundation. And that foundation is the Word of God. It has to be for you. What else do you have? You're going to listen to audible voices that come from heaven or see a vision of an 80-foot tall Jesus or something like that? In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." It's going to be there. It's settled in heaven. Hey, God is bound by his word. He's not going to lie. He's not going to go back on any of his promises. The word of God has got to be your foundation. In 1 Peter 1:25 it says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Hey, none of us, all of us would be wasting our time here tonight if we didn't have hope of salvation because of the word of God. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that's recorded in God's word, that's where we get our hope. That's where we have all that we have as Christians to believe about. I mean, otherwise I might as well just go do something else. If it's not true, if it's not real, if it's not the foundation for my life, I might as well just quit and go do something else. Because it's got to be my spiritual foundation. Listen, I've told you before. Some of you know me maybe a little bit more than others. I didn't always used to be an independent Baptist. I grew up in a Christian home, sure. I was saved when I was a little boy. But nobody ever taught me standards. Nobody ever taught me the scriptures. I didn't even get baptized till I was 21. I was saved when I was 9. Because nobody taught me. I didn't have a spiritual foundation of the Word of God. I had a spiritual foundation of, I'm a Christian. Wishy-washy. Unstable. And I look back and I think of all the years that I wasted, because it was from 9 years old till 21 that I didn't even know what being a Christian meant. Even though I was one all those years. What a shame. No foundation. But then I finally stumbled in to a local New Testament, independent, Bible preaching, fundamental Baptist church. And you know what? As a 21-year-old man, I knew that's what God had in mind for me. First message, Sunday morning, the day before my birthday. I'll never forget it. And at the invitation, I went up forward and I said, "Preacher, I need to join this church because this is what God needs for me." I didn't decide to go in the military and ask a counseling of somebody and prayed about it before I went. And I just went because I knew that's what I wanted to do. And when I graduated from my A school, I was top of my class. I could pick orders to anywhere in the world. And I wanted to go to Sicily. I thought that'd be fun. I didn't pray about it. I didn't say, "God, what's your will for my life?" I went because I wanted to go. And I get over there, and God had it all set up ahead of time so that I could find something, so that I could come in and get baptized and be a part of a church and get called to preach and move on with my life for his purpose and his glory. God has a purpose for you, but what kind of foundation do you have? Where do you stand? Do you stand on your own 2 feet, or do you stand on the Word of God? Is your foundation religion, or is it the Word of God? What is it tonight? Where is it? It must be in the Word of God. Now, very simply, Paul says it here, and this is where I'm getting these points from. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's your foundation right there. Where you stand. Let's look at the next one. For reproof. You know what reproof is? You are wrong. That's what reproof is. So, let me ask you this question. What is the Word of God to you? Is it your spiritual direction? Is it your spiritual direction? First of all, is it your spiritual foundation? But secondly, is it your spiritual direction? Where are you going in your life? Where are you headed? What is your purpose? What are you doing here? I mean, what are you here for? Well, let me see if I can answer it for you. Remember that verse I quoted from Psalm 119? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, if you get into the word of God, it's going to be that flashlight for you. It's going to be what do they call them around here? Mapsco. So you can know what's going on in life. I didn't know what a Mapsco was because I'm a Yankee. Well, I guess only Southerners have Mapscos. I'm just teasing. In North Dakota, you don't need much of a Mapsco. But is it your guide? Is it the place that you look for direction? Or do you just trust the flesh? Oh yeah, hey, my heart will lead me in the right place. You fool. You're a fool. Oh, my friends will give me good advice. Yeah, sure they will. Oh, my family. No. The Word of God. The Word of God. Hey, listen. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You ever walk around in the dark? Okay, yeah, I hope so. Okay, maybe you have. Did you run into anything? I've done that. Yeah. Hey, when you have light and your eyes are enlightened, guess what? You can see where you're going. You can have direction in your life. You don't have to wander around looking for pitfalls, and you're just going to, if you don't have any direction, you don't have any light, you don't have the Word of God in your spiritual life, you're going to be a disaster. You're going to be a disaster. Hey, if you walk, and listen, I lived with some guys when I was in the military, and I'm kind of a control freak a little bit. That's why I guess why I'm a good principal. I always tell my kids, I said, this is not a democracy, this is a dictatorship. Okay, until preacher fires me, I'm the dictator. But you know what? I was living with these guys, and so I kind of took charge. You know, I would go buy groceries and things like this, and we were all in the same church, we were all saved. And I would just do things. I would plan meals, I would plan things like that. I'd just kind of like that, I guess. And after a while, these guys kind of got to not liking me so much anymore. I couldn't figure it out. And I was clueless. I had no idea. I was just minding my, I thought I was doing something great. I thought I was doing something good, keeping things organized, clean, you know, our house looked nice and everything. And after a while, they said, hey, Eric, you know, can you back off a little bit? You know, we're grown men too. We can take care of ourselves. We can do our own things, you know. And I'm like, yeah. I said, all you got to do is say something. All you got to do is tell me. Hey, I don't know I'm doing anything wrong unless you tell me. I mean, really, right? I don't. I mean, my little children, they don't necessarily know at this stage in their life necessarily all the rights and wrongs unless mommy and daddy tell them. Hey, how are you going to know if you're living your life right, going in the right direction, unless somebody tells you? Or how are you even going to find out unless you go find out? Hey, listen, when I was in the military, there was no excuse. When you went to boot camp, they gave you this big book, this thick with words like this small. And they said, here, you're responsible for all this. You break into these rules, you're going to get punished for them. And you're like, oh boy. What rules? Oh, there's about 5 gazillion in here. And if you got caught and you said, oh, I didn't know. Well, guess what they said? Oh, it's okay. We'll let you off this time because you didn't know. No. You are in trouble. Whether you knew it or not. And you know what? That's not much different from how God is. He gave us His Word. He holds us accountable. We're supposed to know the right direction because we have His Word. But I didn't know because you didn't read. But I didn't know because you didn't study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why. Because you didn't have direction in your life. Hey, we, 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You've got the more sure word of prophecy. You have what it takes to get through this world and get through life in the right direction. Remember this verse? This is one of my favorites. Anybody that's heard me any time that I've been here knows that I've preached a million times out of Joshua chapter 1. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay on course. Huh? Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Hey, if you keep this thing in front of you, you keep it open, you keep it a part of your life, you value it, it'll give you direction. It'll be your guide. It'll tell you what's right and wrong. It'll show you the right way. It'll show you the way that God wants you to go in your life. It'll be your direction. Where are you going? I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about what direction are you going in your Christian life? How do you know? How do you know the way? Find out. Find out. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, the Word of God is full of ifs. A lot of things are pretty conditional. God says, do this, and this will happen. If you do this, you get this. But you got to know what it's talking about. Is it your spiritual foundation? Is it your spiritual direction? What is the Word of God to you? Back to 2 Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You're wrong. In this way, this way, this way. For correction. For correction. Anybody in here, I would call you a liar right to your face if you say you've never had to be corrected. Because we all have. We all have had to be corrected sometime in our life for something. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. Okay, I'm not standing up here preaching to you as someone that's perfect, but a sinner saved by grace just like you. And you know what? We all need correction. Is the Bible your spiritual correction? How are you living your life? Is it your foundation? Is it your direction? And is it your correction? Do you listen to it when it says you're wrong? Do you take heed to it? In Jeremiah 23:29, it says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Hey, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you let the Word of God be your correction? Or are you stiff-necked? You know, it says about the fool, hardened his neck, and is suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Hey, that's the Christian who won't listen to the Word of God. Who won't take the correction of the Word of God. Listen, it has to be our correction. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Is that your desire? Is that what the word of God means to you? God, I want to know your word. I want to put it in my heart so that I don't sin against you. David, over and over again in Psalm 119, expressed his love relationship with the word of God and how he wanted to keep God's statutes and to desire his judgments and his precepts, and he goes on and on and on. how righteous it was, how it kept him pure and clean. He wanted a relationship with the Word of God for correction in his life. Do you? Deuteronomy 17:19, it says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." Hey, we're supposed to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We're supposed to apply the correction from the Word of God to our lives. We are. That's who and how we're supposed to be. God wants us to live a clean life. Hey, he doesn't, listen, I've been giving this illustration. Some of you already heard it. You know I'm a father. I've got 4 kids. And Ian is our 2-year-old. And sometimes, I'm telling you, he is the stinkiest little thing the world has ever seen. He just flat out stinks. Those of you nursery workers can say amen. And when I come home and everybody's yelling, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," and they're coming to me, I can smell him a mile away. And I say, "Uh-uh, go get a diaper." I don't want to hug a dirty kid, nasty, stinky kid. No, I don't. I mean, I love him. And I want to get him cleaned up so I can hug him and love him. Hey, but you know, I don't know if you've seen how you pick kids up and throw them up in the air, and that's a lot of fun. I'm not going to throw up in a volatile diaper up in the air. Who knows where it's going to land? I don't want to get it all over me. Hey, I'm trying to make this very candid for you. Some of you are living life as a dirty, stinking Christian, and you expect God to pick you up and hug you. You expect to live your life however you want and just get all soiled and dirty and nasty, and then you come to God and say, "Come on, God, give me a big hug." What do you expect? Who do you think he is? I know he's merciful. I know he's long-suffering. I know that. And I love my children. And listen, I really am not going to deny my kid a hug because they're stinky. I'll change his diaper first. Getting cleaned up. Hey, God wants us to live a clean life. He wants us to take correction. Listen, that prodigal son came home smelling like a pig pen. And yes, that father came up and put his arms around him. But you know what he did too? He cleaned him up. Got him a new robe, got him new clothes, got him new shoes. And he didn't just leave him dirty and filthy. Hey, listen, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't want us to live a dirty life. He wants us to have a relationship with the Word of God so it can be our spiritual correction in how we're living our life as his children. Are you his child tonight? What is the Word of God to you? Is it your spiritual foundation? Is it your spiritual direction? Is it your spiritual correction? And lastly, back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is it your spiritual instruction? How you are growing. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." I'm an educator. I want to instruct young people. I want to show them the proper way to live their life. I want to teach them so they'll learn. I want to help them to grow as young people. When you get saved, you're a baby. Babies need milk. And the milk for the Christian is the Word of God. It should be your instruction. You say, well, I don't know anything. Okay. Get you a big bottle full and start sucking. Yeah. And you know what? You'll grow up to a point where you can start chewing a little bit. Yeah. And sometimes you'll choke on it. Hey, it happens. Sometimes you might spit up a little bit. That happens too. But you know what? Eventually, it'll be like steak and lobster. I've tasted that rice cereal stuff. That's nasty. Doesn't taste like anything. Hey, I've tasted that Gerber baby food, you know, the beef and rice dinner or something. Yeah. I was feeding some of that to Oliver the other day. He was just chugging it down. And there was a little bit left, and he was getting a little full, and he didn't want the rest of it. And I don't like to waste things. I know you can put the lid on it, put it back in the fridge, but I didn't. So, no, I didn't eat it. Don't worry. Okay? Wasn't me. But I've got three other Rugrats running around, and they'll eat anything. You know, Mikey likes it. Those of you that remember Life cereal commercials, okay? He'll eat anything. So I got a spoonful, and I said, here, come here, Anna. And she came over, and I gave it to her. She's like, she got this funny look on her face. Daddy, I don't like that. I said, okay, come here, Ethan. Daddy, I don't like that. Come here, Ian. He wouldn't even come. He may be a buzzard, but he's smart. he didn't. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. Here's just a little bit left. Have another bite. Daddy, I don't want it. Hey, you know, at first, perhaps the Word of God isn't the most exciting thing to read. But as you read it and as you grow, you develop a desire and a love and a taste for the Word of God. Hey, listen, are you growing? Deuteronomy 4:10 says, especially the day of the Lord, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Is it your instruction? Is the Word of God your spiritual instruction? 1 John 5:13, it's our assurance. You know, this, you use this in soul winning. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What things? Uh-oh, I wrote my outline. Do you believe it today? Is it your instruction? Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Listen, this is very simple. What is the Word of God to you? What is it to you? Is it your spiritual foundation? Is it your spiritual direction? Is it your spiritual correction? Is it your spiritual instruction? Is it? Is it? If it's not, it should be. It should be. Hey, you cannot honestly say that when you put it down on Sunday night and you pick it up Wednesday night to go to church, and Wednesday night you put it down, and you pick it up Sunday morning to go to Sunday school, and you come home Sunday night, and you put it down, and you pick it up Wednesday. You can't say that. You can't. You know what? I learned one my freshman year in Bible college. I was in a soul-winning class. And the instructor, I don't even remember what it was that he asked us anymore, but he asked us a question and said, do you believe such and such? And of course, the whole class said yes. It was something spiritual. Okay? And we all said, oh, yes, of course, we're Baptists. We believe, yeah. I said, okay, how much time do you spend with it? Or how much time do you spend doing that? Or how much do you actually really do it? And the stat numbers were kind of, oh, yeah, I believe this is God's word. It's your guidebook for life, but I never read it. You say you believe it, but your actions say you don't. I'm sorry. But actions speak louder than words. You can say, I believe it's God's word. But if you don't treat it like it, if it's not your spiritual foundation, if it's not your spiritual direction, if it's not your spiritual correction, if it's not your spiritual instruction, you're a liar. It's just the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. What is the word of God to you? I want you to think about these before we leave. What do you suppose the word of God is to the lost man? Just a plain old lost person. You know what? It's just a book. They don't know anything about it. It's just a book. A religious book, maybe, to some. But what is it to the saved? It's our blessed hope. It's our guide. What is it to the devil? It's his ticket to eternal damnation is what it is. And he knows it. That's why he loves to mess with this book. He loves to. He's done it a whole bunch. Yeah. He started changing it in Genesis chapter 3. He did. He told that to Eve. He just twisted it a little bit, took out a few words, added a few more. But it's his ticket to eternal damnation is what it is. He hates this book. What is it to God? It's his word. It's his word. And what should it be to you? I know we have all these points. We can write these down. We can think about them. But what should it be to you? EVERYTHING. Everything. It should mean something to you. I hope it does. Every head bowed, every eye closed.